I have 15 minutes. Lots of time. So I want to talk about hope. Janet actually mentioned it already, a bit about hope. You know, I was very concerned when Janet left for Indonesia, because I read in the news, tsunamis, earthquakes. How many followed that in the news? I mean, I'm thinking, where's my wife going? Praise God, she went to the other side of the islands than where this happened. But I came across a testimony of a lady on where this tsunami, it was St. Paulo, or Paulo it's called, where she saw the tsunami coming. She could see the waves in the distance. And there was a whole bunch of people around her, and they were all panic. What are you going to do? And so there was a nearby church, and I think it was an Orthodox Greek church. And she ran towards it, and she had encountered Jesus as a child, but had forgotten all about Jesus. But as she ran into the church, she says, "Jesus, you have to help us, or we will die here." And a tsunami stopped a few feet from the church. And everybody who followed her into the church survived. And that was the Friday when Jenny was landing in that place. So how many think that's amazing? Okay, there's a testimony like coming out of there. Anyway, Jeremiah 29:11. Remember the story. The Hebrews are in captivity. They are discouraged, and I've been on this for a few Sundays, because some of you are sitting here discouraged, and you need to know that God is a God of hope. And Jeremiah the prophet gives this word to them, "For I know the plans I have." Okay, let's read it together. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you call on me and come and pray to me, and I'll listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." What is this hope? We all have wishful thinkings. But that's not the hope that the Bible talks about. The hope the Bible talks about is placing your future in what God says. It's placing your hope on Him. When you have hope, my friends, it gets you up in the morning. When you have hope, you conquer the mountains. When you have hope, you can overcome the most difficult valleys in your life. When you have hope, you can lead others to safety. When you have hope, you can live. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope is like water to a plant. Without the water, the plant dies. Without hope, the human spirit dies. So here it is. In this 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it talks about, "But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet." As a helmet. The helmet. What's the helmet for? It's to protect your head. When you watch football, they stand, the defense line standing in front of the offense line, and crash, bang! And the helmets are moved around, and then they adjust the helmet, and then 40 seconds later, or is it a minute later, Paul? They crash each other again. I could never figure out why they do this. And then they adjust the helmet. Well, there is a spiritual helmet, you see, and it protects your thoughts. And what was the problem with this helmet? Look at the thoughts. Loser, dumb, ugly, stupid, weak, fat, worthless, unloved, dumb. How many things? Those are discouraging words. And that helmet needs to go. But there's a helmet called the helmet of hope. And it's a helmet of hope that comes from salvation. Amen. I heard this story, and I heard this story of a grandmother. I read it out actually a book by Dutch Sheet. And the grandmother, it was in the 1950s. She woke up in the middle of the night. And in the middle of the night, she felt she needed to write words of encouragement, just like Janet did to those missionaries, write down words of encouragement and scripture verses and put them in a bottle. And they lived close to a beach. So her and her grandkids wrote down scripture verses, and they put them in a bottle. And they sealed the bottle and put them into the ocean. And she, I think it was 10 of them. And some of them came back. She put down her name and her address, and she got response from people who picked up the bottles. But there was one missing. And years later, come a letter in the mail. And the letter says, "Dear," I don't forget her name, "I lost my husband to an accident. I had 5 kids. I have 5 kids. And I didn't know how to provide for them. There was no food. I went down to the beach. It was frozen. I had a pickaxe. I decided to cut a hole in the ice and take my life. Because I thought if I did that, the state would take care of my kids. Because I had no hope left in my bones." How many knows when you get hopeless, sometimes you're bombarded with things that makes you even more hopeless? It becomes like a cycle. And it can drive you to doing the worst things. And she says she opened the ice, there was a hole, and out came a bottle. And she opened the bottle, and it said, "Because he lives, you will also live." And she said, "Because I got that," and there was other scriptures and words, I don't remember what it was, but, and she said, "Because I read that word, I found hope. And I went back, and I took care of my kids. So thank you for saving me." Hope, my friends. So there is a... Isabel, can I just share something? I went to the in-laws yesterday, and I felt I should write on a piece of paper scriptures and words of encouragement. And my wife helped me type them out. And then I had 9 made. Well, there were, how many people were there? 12. So I quickly had to make up 3 more when I got there. And I curled them up. Like that. To illustrate that sometimes our life is all messed up. And then I put them in a garbage can. And I asked them to pick up one. Right, Isabel? What does it feel like when you open it?
It was so true. God spoke. God was good.
I didn't know who we went to. I just asked the Holy Spirit to show me who I should write it to, or what to write. I didn't know who we went to. But several of them came and said, "Right, Jen? This spoke to me. It brought me hope." How many believe that God wants to give you hope? How many believe that God wants to give, prosper you, and not to harm you, but to give you, my friends, hope and a future? I love little kids. Sunday says in Thessalonians that this hope is like a helmet. And it's connected to salvation. What does salvation and hope have to do with anything? Many of us think of salvation as going to heaven, but there is more to it. And when I was meditating upon this salvation and hope and how it fits together and the helmet, I was thinking of Jesus when he walked down the street with a whole crowd around him, and there was a little man. And guess what that little man was called? His name was called Zacchaeus. Some of you sang the song in Sunday school. And Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. You see, you can position yourself, hear me, to receive hope from God. And Zacchaeus had problems. He was little. He was probably not really good looking. He was a tax collector, which meant he was hated because he made his money at collecting people's taxes, and then he collected more so he can become rich. He was really hated. He worked for the Romans. They didn't like him. He was rejected by society. And there he was. He wanted to see Jesus. He cried up in the tree. And lo and behold, the crowd came right underneath him. And what does Jesus do? He stops and says, "Zacchaeus, today I'm going to be at your house." Do you know that Jesus has come to give hope to the lost? That salvation is really a great part of salvation is hope. When the prostitutes came, what did he do? He stopped for the prostitute. When the woman who had lost, who was a widow, announced she lost her son, and there was a funeral procession, Jesus stopped to bring hope into the most hopeless case. Salvation is bringing hope into the future of your life. How many believe that there is a destiny for you if you will give him your future? Zacchaeus came down from the tree and he said, "I'll give half of my possession to the poor. And I'll give four times back to those I stole from." That's called repentance. And Jesus makes this announcement. Today, salvation has come to your house. The day came when salvation came to my house. And when salvation came to my house, it wasn't just me. It wasn't just now I was on the high. My sins are forgiven. No. My friends, when salvation comes, hope comes because he comes and dwells in you. And he is with you. And when hope came into my home, it began to change how I loved my wife. It began to change how I saw my children. I began to realize when I walk into the home, I walk with the presence of God. I began to see what God was seeing. And the future was something I couldn't affect. I could affect the future of my marriage, of my children, and now my grandchildren by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul prays, "The God of hope, may he give you joy and peace as you believe, that he may abound with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." Amen. I'll just end it with this. Maybe. there is things you can do to find hope. When I wrote out these scriptures for these ladies, I just asked Holy Spirit, give me, show me what to write. And I just felt such a leading. I felt such a leading of the Spirit when I wrote it that I knew it was going to speak to somebody. But can I just tell you something? That's exactly what happens when you read the Word. You are people of the Word, and if you're people of the Word, you're people of hope, because you have His hope dwelling in you. Amen. So I was listening to John Hagee. He always lifts you up, if not with his jokes. But he said, one day a woman taught him hope. A woman who had cancer and a mother of two children. And he came into her hospital room in the morning to visit her as her pastor. And she said with a big smile, "This is the best day of my life forever." Her face was glowing with joy. "Last night I did not know if I would see another day. But today is a gift from God. I'm going to celebrate the blessings God has given me, the burden He has given me because He has given me strength to carry them. I'm going to celebrate the hardship that has made me who I am. I will celebrate with my head held high, looking at all the gifts God has given me. With my head held high, looking at all the gifts God has given me, I'm going to celebrate the beauty of the sunrise, the morning dew covering the grass, the birds singing, the trees reaching for heaven in the park, the beautiful flowers. I might not see tomorrow. Today I'm going to hug my two children passionately. I'll give sincere encouragement word to someone who is down. She's dying, but she's going to pick somebody up. I'll stop worrying about what I don't have. When tonight the stars come out and the moon closes, I will look at them as long as I can before I go to sleep, because I may not see tomorrow. Today is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Who has made today? God has. There's no need to worry about tomorrow, because today you have enough worries of your own. My friends, this woman put on her helmet of hope and she stared the enemy in the eyes and said, "Today I have chosen to rejoice." Amen. You see, there is an enemy who will like to come and kill and steal your joy. And who will whisper to you, as he does to those little kids when they go to school sometimes and they're being told, "You're ugly, you're stupid, we don't want to be around you, we don't want to hold your hand." When they see that and feel that, that's the enemy coming. But you don't have to listen to it. You don't have to listen to it. You don't have to listen to your past. The past, they want to torment you and say, "You messed up." There's been a very famous lady in the news of Maber Creek from the Healing Lodge. I don't have to mention her name. But when she opened her page, again, I had no idea where this page was going to go to. On the page it says, "You have been wonderfully and perfectly made by Jesus." My friend, you can let the past and the circumstances dictate who you are, or you can let Jesus tell you who you are and the future you have. And I don't know, but we're going to go from glory to glory. That's what I read in the Bible. And you and I, my friends, we may die one day, but we're going to die one day. But we're going to go to be with him forever. And we may be sitting here, we're looking at each other, one, some of us old, some of us young. And tomorrow, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But my friends, I can tell you that if you are a believer in Jesus, we will sit in heaven one day. And we may not play football, but we may play soccer. We will spend eternity with God, who is full of love and has lavishes on you that you should become a child of God. We spend eternity together. And this is simply a training ground, how to forgive, how to love, how to embrace, how to walk. Amen. Paul, will you mind come? Hope. Will he awaken you to the life that he has for you? And if you have the wrong helmet on, I suggest you throw it in the garbage. And in the morning, put on that helmet of hope before you get your feet out of bed and choose to listen to him. Amen. So I'm going to have an altar call. And if you say, Hans, the truth be told, I'm not making light of this because some days I need hope. You know, and I need a word from God. Barb gave me a word the other day on a Tuesday morning, a word that was really, really, really powerful and encouraging. So there's nothing shameful about saying, I need hope. But if you're tormented, I suggest you come to the altar and throw that helmet, the wrong helmet, in the garbage can. And let God put on the helmet of hope. Let's stand.